Okay, I'll go through the instructions one more time and then we'll get started. If you didn't receive the email with the instructions for today's conference, you can email me at administrator@marketingexperiments.com and I'll make sure to get the URL with the notes sent out to you. I just want to point your web browser directly to it. You can go to mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. So it's mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And the page there will have some today's conference as well as a link to an Excel spreadsheet that we'll be using. We'll also ask you to refresh that page a few times during the conference. Again, my email address one last time is administrator@marketingexperiments.com if you're having any trouble. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, Brian, I appreciate your introduction, and I think by now you have that set of phrases that you use when people join us down by memory. I don't think you're reading it anymore, Brian.
No, I haven't been reading it for several weeks now.
You're doing good. All right, so we're going to get started. Let me point out a few things in the beginning. First of all, we're coming up a report here shortly on optimizing, in fact, a web conference like this on optimizing your site for traditional organic search engines. We have another one coming up shortly after that on optimizing pay-per-click campaigns for subscription sites. There's a third one coming up on optimizing your landing pages. And a fourth one that I'm quite interested in myself, and we're conducting research on whether or not long copy on the web is more effective than short copy, particularly in the recent changes in terms of the marketing climate. Those are the next four conferences coming up that will be online. In addition to that, there's a half a dozen new research briefs. Some of those, each one of those conferences will have a brief, and then there's additional briefs that we'll be sending out to you that you should, you'll be getting a copy of those upcoming, the next six of those, in the research brief that accompanies this conference, which will be released shortly. So our topic is eBay basics, how to determine if eBay is a good marketing channel for your products. That's a very specific question. And we have, along with our research staff and analysts on the line here, we have also a research partner who is a power seller on eBay and we've worked with for a long time, more than a year of research, and he's very, very effective. And so we're going to be working with him. Now, I'm hearing static. Is that on my end? Is everyone hearing me clearly?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So we likely have somebody who may have need to mute their telephone. That may be where that static is coming from. But I want to introduce Chris Chenault to you. Chris, you're on the line?
Yes, I am.
And Chris will be helping to answer questions. He is one of the most knowledgeable people I know on eBay. We've done research together and also built with Chris a Yahoo store and done a lot of research with that. It's interesting to note that his Yahoo business is now surpassing or equal to his eBay business. I think that's not saying too much, is it, Chris, and accurate? Is that, how accurate is that?
That's very accurate.
Okay. All right, so with that in mind, Chris was very instrumental in the research here, and we'll be using him to answer questions, and I'm going to get started. In previous reports, we've looked at a variety of pay-per-click and comparison shopping engines. With a few exceptions, we've found that these two marketing channels can be effective for a number of different product types and price margins. Now, just for clarification's sake, when we say a pay-per-click engine, we mean Google, Overture, and FindWhat, and those types of engines. When we say comparison shopping engine, really it's a subset of the pay-per-click engines in most cases. It is an engine that allows multiple products to be compared side by side so you can find the best value. Engines like DealTime or PriceGrabber, PriceWatch, and engines of that nature. So we're talking about two different types of search engines, and there is a third type that we'll be talking about in our next web conference, and that's organic search engines, getting listed in Google PageRank or MSN without paying anything in terms of pay-per-click, but just being found and getting high relevant listings. But really today, search has changed, and much of your traffic in the average websites growth cycle comes from these two primary areas. And on the pay-per-click side, one of our analysts here is a former research partner who drove over $30 million in business in 1 year just through the comparison shopping engines, like DealTime and others. So what we want to do is ask this question. Does eBay, which is the leader in online auctions, represent a viable marketing channel for your retail business? Or is it prohibitively expensive for many products? How can you determine if eBay is right for you? How does it compare in terms of its effectiveness with the main pay-per-click engines or the comparison shopping engines? And so I'm going to get right to our findings. And Brian, you can go ahead and refresh and show us the first chart. That would mean if you're taking notes or watching in the notes that have been provided for you by refreshing your screen, you should see in just a moment, if you refresh, a chart appear. And that chart is the chart I'm going to be referencing in just a few moments. To understand the potential effectiveness of eBay as a marketing medium, we should compare it to other popular marketing channels, such as pay-per-click engines and comparison shopping sites. Which of these channels provides the most profit potential? We want you to consider the following campaigns on a pay-per-click engine: Google AdWords or Overture, and then a comparison site like DealTime or PriceWatch. We're going to compare these two, and then we're going to compare those with eBay. So if you'll notice what we're looking at in the first chart, are they seeing all three charts, 45, 150, and 700, Brian?
Yes, I put all three in.
Okay,
Brian,
so
can you quickly tell us where the charts are again?
Go ahead, Brian.
Sure. The URL is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log.
And these, you may want to bookmark that site. That's the same place where we always post our notes. And so, you know, from conference to conference, if you have it bookmarked, you'll be able to find it rapidly. Also, we'll be sending out in a few days this research brief. We don't send it out before the conference because we use feedback from the conference to improve it. And then once we've done one more round of edits, we release it to you, and it'll come in your email. Also, you'll be able to get a recording of this conference later if you want to go back and if you miss anything. So having said that, I'd like you to notice the primary difference between these charts, because you can look at all three and really have to work to understand them. And we're going to try to help them get very clear. The first campaign is based on a price point of $45 and a margin of 20%. The next one, campaign B, is a $150 price point, and campaign C is a $700 price point. All three have 20% margins, which are rather slim, but all three have 20% margins. And so if you'll look at the first one, on the left is the metric, on the right is a pay-per-click engine like Overture, and next to that is a comparison site like DealTime. I want you to notice under the category cost per click, which is three or four lines down, on the pay-per-click engine, it's 20 cents. On the comparison site, it is 40 cents. Now, up to that line, the numbers are identical. Does anyone care to say why we have made the comparison site number double in terms of the cost per click of the pay-per-click engine?
That's pretty typical, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah. The reason is that traffic coming from the comparison site is typically more qualified than traffic coming from the pay-per-click engine site. In Google, you might search under the word, let's say, conference, and be looking for a conference that you can attend, or you might be looking for a conference system, or you might be looking for conference software or conference equipment. But in a comparison site, when you search, you're typically looking for something specifically to buy because you're in a shopping engine. Many of the comparison sites call themselves shopping engines. DealTime changed its name to shopping.com for that reason. So the cost per click is typically higher on a comparison site than a pay-per-click engine. But notice the difference. The break-even conversion rate would mean. Is everyone here clear on what we mean by this break-even conversion rate? Is anyone not clear? Okay. The break-even conversion rate would be 2.22 for the pay-per-click engine and 4.2 before for the comparison site. And in this campaign, the actual conversion is 3%. So the first group on the pay-per-click side made a 2.3% or $2.33 profit on that item. But on the comparison engine side, they lost money. Now, I would say this. In many cases, it's the other way around. We find it hard to make money with some products in the basic pay-per-click engines like Google and Overture. You can. But what we have discovered is that most people are getting traffic from there. They are not tracking the traffic adequately to know which orders are specifically tied to which key words or search terms. And so they don't really know if they're making money or not. All they know is when they slow it down, sales break off, so they keep it going. And you'd be surprised, I'd say the majority of the campaigns that we analyze wherein the merchant thinks he's making money on a pay-per-click engine like Google or Overture, he's losing money. This is not to say he can't make money, because once we've analyzed where he's losing it, we can refine the campaign and typically make quite a bit of money. But, you know, in this case, it's the comparison site that's losing money. We find that the comparison sites are sending a lot of qualified traffic that converts higher, and often it's more profitable than the standard pay-per-click messages. So having said that, let's look at campaign B briefly. It is identical, except that your price point is $150. Now, margins are identical, but you have a lot more money to work with, and this is a major factor in figuring out your profitability with your pay-per-click engines or your comparison engines. In this case, you're not losing any money because your average order is $150 instead of $45, or let's say the item is $150 instead of $45. And so if you go down to the bottom line again, it's a $23 profit on the comparison the pay-per-click, and it's a $16 profit on the comparison search engines. Now the same thing applies on the $700 price point, which is, by the way, why you have some of these search terms that are being bid at $3, $4, and $5 a click. One of the groups that does that is mortgage companies. Another group that does that is search engine optimization consultants. Why? Because their average sell is so high, they can afford to pay several dollars a click. And we've worked with, I know one group that customer's acquisition cost is $22 a person. And they consider that reasonable, and they're highly profitable, and they sell 6,000. They have 6,000 orders a day. So with that in mind, let's look now at what you need to understand, kind of the key to all this. In these three campaigns, the gross profit at three price points is weighed against the pay-per-click cost. And we've chosen the points you've seen, 45, 150, and 700, to compare these. We're going to compare those to eBay. But notice in campaign A, comparison sites are not profitable because of the higher cost per click. And we often find this is in the case for small, average orders, or low gross margin products. If I was crafting the business in advance, I was going to start on the internet. I would not craft it by figuring out what I had in my garage to sell, or what company I worked at before, or what it is I think I can do, or what my hobby is. I would craft it by getting inside of the pay-per-click engines, living in them, finding out what people are searching for, that you can also serve better than anyone else, and using the psychology you discover from working in the engines, testing your ads, testing your headlines, testing your value proposition in the copy of your 35-character limit ad until you know the business you're supposed to be in by looking at it through the eyes of the customer, not through your eyes. And if I was going to do that, I can promise you that I would start typically, if I was going to rely heavily on the pay-per-click engines, which is probably the surest way to drive traffic other than strategic alliances, and the comparison engines, same thing. I would choose items that had high margin and or had a higher average price point. I want to get sales up there to over $100 a person, and that makes all the difference in the world in how you can approach your marketing. Now, having said all of that, let's move forward and let's try to get some wisdom from the data. And the wisdom that we're trying to extract here is not only what types of products work well in these engines, but how does that compare to these products in the eBay engine. And these charts that you're looking at were created with a special Excel spreadsheet that was developed just for the purpose of calculating the potential effectiveness of pay-per-click and comparison engines. And we're going to give you a copy of that. That URL will be released with this report. We don't have that URL yet ready, do we, Brian?
Yeah, it's in the notes.
Okay, you've got the. All right, and it's, we're giving it to you advance the rest of our members. By using that URL, you can download a spreadsheet that allows you to plug in your own average order price and your gross margin, and then provide you a break-even conversion rate and predicts your potential profit based on an actual conversion rate that you can modify. So you can play with your conversion rate and see what your true profit is, or you can play with your margin and see what your true profit is. That spreadsheet's been built for you, and it's released to members only. Feel free to get it and download it. And if you send it to a friend, please just credit our site with it so that we have a chance to develop a relationship with them. But please feel free to use it to be more effective. Now, I want to say this. When you put in a gross margin, and that gross margin is an average, unless that's the same for all of your products, be very, very careful. One of the surest ways to get your metrics wrong, to make everything add up right on paper and still be at the end of the year and have lost money and not be able to figure out why, is the fact that you estimated your margin wrong. Even if you put in your average margin, it can be wrong because the items that are selling may not be average products. It may be one or two categories that sell a lot of, and your margins may be much slimmer there. And if that's the case, it can throw off all your numbers. And I have seen partners grow, do several million dollars, and at the end of the year, still not be making money. In fact, get in significant financial trouble. And the reason is they estimated their gross margin. The numbers they gave us were exactly how we built everything, and we built them right, but the assumption was wrong. Now, keep in mind that the above campaigns are idealized in order to provide a clear illustration of a potential profit, which we don't now compare to eBay. The 3% conversion rate remains static throughout the three campaigns, but in real campaigns, your actual conversion may vary dramatically. So actual conversion would not be the same in both engines. I think it would be higher in the shopping engine if you set it up correctly. All right, now I'm getting ready to move into this, but I want to ask Jimmy Ellis or Chris Chenault, do you have anything to add to what I've said so far?
No.
Okay.
I have some stuff to add. This is Jimmy Ellis.
Yes, Jimmy, go ahead.
First, just real quick with the spreadsheet that's there for download, we've actually added a couple of fields for cost per click and for the comparison engines and pay-per-click fees. Now, what you can do with the spreadsheet once you take a look at it is we originally had it set up for all the comparison engines, so we wanted to let you, for your specific product, type in what your current cost per click is for deal time because there's so many different rates. So with this spreadsheet, you can actually type in your CPC value or your pay-per-click cost from the Google Overture, and it should figure out your break-even conversion for basically the advertising cost equal to profit on your product based on the gross margin you put in and the average order size. And you can get down. What we usually do is recommend doing it down to the product level. So the more specific that you do this, the better it is. As for the charts that are currently up, Flint is correct in all of my experience with comparison shopping engines and traditional Google and Overture type of pay-per-click is that the comparison engines usually convert a lot higher. So in these charts, we've included the 3% and 3%. That was just to make this as clear as possible. Usually the comparison engines will be anywhere from 2 to 6, 7. We've seen it all the way up to 10% conversion on comparison engines and pay-per-click. Varies similarly to that, but usually it's around 1 to 3%. If you have a very high niche, very niche oriented products, usually you can get a bit higher if you have a highly optimized campaign. But in most cases, the comparison sites are going to outperform the pay per click. But what the comparison sites can't do is they don't offer as wide a selection of products to compare our customer base that Google and Overture does because of the type of ads and that there are no categories and specific criteria you need to be able to advertise. So
now, also, if any of you are having questions when you get that spreadsheet and you download it and you're not sure how to operate it, If you'll let Jimmy know, he'll personally get in a plane and fly out to your office and help you figure it out, because he's dedicated. And I'm teasing you, but I want to make sure that you understand it and that we help you well. I think we should look now at the eBay campaigns, and let's get some insights from that. So Brian is going to add those to your screen notes now, and if you'll just refresh your page, we'll look at them together. The question here is how those price points from the pay-per-click and the profits compare when we look at them in eBay. So you're going to notice in the sheet now that we're looking at, you have 45, 150, and 700 as the same price points. But now there's a whole different set of fees here. And those fees make a huge difference in trying to calculate what your true profit is. And what's more, the constant that you've been counting on to figure out, which in most cases is the cost per click, has just shifted. And eBay has very strategically shifted the ground under your feet. And in doing so, they have made everything favor them. And I'm going to ask Chris Chenault to go ahead and explain quickly these fees, and then I'll kind of get to the bottom line. But Chris, I'll let you kind of elaborate on this chart.
Okay. Basically, there's two different basic fees that go with eBay. The first one's an insertion fee that you pay any time that you put up an ad. So whether it sells or not, you pay an insertion fee. The second fee is a selling fee, basically a final value fee is what they call it. And so if your item sells, you pay a percentage of the sales cost back to eBay again. And those are the basis of those fees that they charge. And they do not include shipping charges. So that's an interesting note.
Yes, they do not, and that's critical. Now, if you're looking at this and you're saying, so what does it all mean? What you need to understand is that eBay's pricing structure is much more complicated than the pay-per-click and comparison engines, which simply charge a per-click fee. Insertion fees are charged whether your item sells or not. Final value fees are assessed based on the actual selling price. And the table then above was created using eBay's pricing guidelines, and we're giving you a link to that. It should already be in your notes. Is that a numbered link, Brian?
For the actual pricing structure?
Yeah, the eBay instructions.
Well, it's in the footnote to that table there. So.
All right, it's in the footnote
it's
to the table that you're
URL number two, yeah.
Okay. So this fee for these auctions is based on, you know, a 5.25% of the first $25 plus 2.75% of the remaining price. And you can see right how those fees are calculated. Now, if you think of these terms, you're probably still saying, okay, so did we make money or did we not make money, and how does this compare? If you think of these campaigns in terms of unsuccessful sales, then eBay becomes prohibitively expensive much more quickly than the pay-per-click or the comparison engines. In any unsuccessful pay-per-click or comparison sale, you simply lose the per-click fee. But in an unsuccessful eBay auction, you lose the entire insertion fee. For example, a $45 item selling on eBay would become unprofitable if it failed to sell just five times. If it sold on the sixth attempt, your fee would total $906 and would exceed your gross profit. So here's the key point. Your top priority should be making sure your eBay items actually sell. And you have to pay close attention to the sell-through rate of all your eBay listings. In this next section, we've kind of put together seven critical guidelines for creating a successful eBay campaign. And again, Christopher, feel free to jump in here as I talk about this. And also if you have questions, because I want to get now to the meat of this. I want to summarize in my own words what I think we have looked at so far. And then I want to talk to you about how to craft an eBay campaign so that it will work for you. The first thing that you need to know is that that the fee structure in eBay is more complicated, and that the key in eBay to success is sell-through. Now, in Google, as opposed to Overture, you could have a lower bid and still get a higher position because you get more click-throughs. So conversion is important, and click-throughs are very important in Google. And a person can actually do better than a competitor by bidding lower and having a better ad. theoretically, in Google. In Overture, it's just a matter of what you bid. In eBay, it's the sell-through that matters. And what I have discovered is that many, many people who get excited about eBay don't really realize as they start to grow or try to scale up their business that they lose money. Many of them have to make the shift. Now, there are people who still make money on eBay, and Chris is one of those. And he does. He really has a kind of a brilliant approach to the whole thing. He's built a series of spreadsheets that guide how he thinks and makes his decisions and searches for what products to be sold. But he also outsources and brings products in from the best possible sources from around the world, and that's one of the secrets to his success. So let's talk about that now as I list 7 keys, and if you have questions, or Chris, if you want to jump in, please do, or any of my team. Number one, limit your eBay listings to products with high margins. As seen in the examples we just talked about, eBay can give eBay fees can quickly eat up a product's gross profit margin. And for products or markets without a significant margin, you may be better off simply spending more money on the pay-per-click or comparison sites. And even then, it's tricky. I think that if your margin is – Jimmy, would you agree with this statement? If your margin is slim, then it's almost a necessity that your average order is high to make the pay-per-click engines work.
I absolutely agree. Just from my personal experience, with single-digit margins on comparison engines and any other engines that we used to advertise on, we absolutely would not we would refuse to sell anything under $50. That was an absolute minimum. Usually, actually, when we were trying to make even more money and conserve our profitability as much as possible, it was everything under $100 was removed from our comparison engine data feeds. It was removed from our pay-per-click accounts and anything else that would cost us money to get sales. Obviously, they were still on our sites for organic search work and the other search work we were doing that was not click-based or based on click fees. But, you know, we used this a spreadsheet almost identical to the ones that you guys will have access to or have access to figure out that, you know, when we have an average order price of, you know, $50 or $100, that, you know, unless we can get to conversion at 6 or 7%, that 6 or 7% was break even. We'd have to convert 6 or 7% of our orders on pay per click or comparison engines to be profitable. It just wasn't going to happen because most of the engines, there's only one or two engines that would actually achieve that for our specific products. So we just removed them and it saved us a tremendous amount of money and revenue. And it just goes by, you know, that was the originally a painfully testing by looking at them yeah. up and seeing that you lost $20,000 on a comparison engine or something like that. So,
if you just joined us, by the way, some of you came in late. Jimmy is an analyst, works full time with us, but he was a research partner with another company, the director of marketing, before he came full time with us, and we still work with their team. And Jimmy, sold more than $30 million in products in the comparison engines. And he was the one that worked with us closely on our comparison studies that are some of the studies that you see on our site right now.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sure.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Has anyone done an analysis to show the products that sell the best on eBay and what margin you need because based on average sell-throughs? Because obviously sell-through is a big part. So the question is, what is the average sell-through generally run? And then, in other words, just try to set a benchmark. So if you're going to sell something on eBay, you know, you should have at least a 20% margin, and if it's in these categories, you'll probably get this sell-through or something.
Chris, I know you have an answer to that. Go ahead and share what you feel the liberty to share.
No, that's fine. Actually, I've done studies on several different categories. It varies widely depending on category and specific product. For instance, we sell a lot of batteries, and in one section that has to do with digital cameras, the competition is much higher than in a different section where the prices tend to be higher as well. But the profitability in the higher section where the prices are higher may be less as well because your wholesale price, your margins aren't as high. So you have to actually sit down and analyze each section and each product to really get that answer. There's ways to do that. There's tools that will help you pull down closed auction data from eBay. One of them is mentioned at the bottom, called Auction Intelligence. If I were you and you were really interested, I'd start getting that data and looking at it. In general, as a rule of thumb, 30% margin for us and at least 20% sell-through is a bare minimum to really make money.
Okay. Well, that's a good benchmark.
Yeah, that's helpful. Chris mentioned the information at the bottom of the report that you'll eventually get. Pay attention to these literature reviews. We spend a lot of time working by going through all the available sites out there on the net and rating them and organizing them and, you know, picking a group. Used to we'd give you a 5-page literature review, but it was just too much. It was overwhelming. So we call, you know, and you'll see 10 to 20 links that we've worked through, maybe a lot more than that, 10 to 30, and they're broken down and analyzed. And they're at the bottom of these reports. We've combined now the literature reviews, which were separate before, with our briefs, so you get it all in one document. I would say then, in summary, to move on to our second point about eBay, in summary, though, I would say that on the comparison engines and the pay-per-click engines, if you have low margin, you want to have a high dollar in average order in order to make it work. You can use less expensive products, $20, $30, $40 products, but you need a high margin to make sense out of most of that. And then I would say that on eBay, where there's sell-through issues, as to summarize, Chris is saying there's tools that can help you, but you need to look at the category and the individual product. And the way to figure out eBay is to get in and see what the other sellers are doing. Unlike other retail operations where you might be in the sportswear sales in an offline retail site and there's somebody across town in the same business or across the country in the same business, and you really can't tell how what they're doing and how well it's doing. With eBay, you can go in and get the intelligence, and it is worth your time to find out what the other sellers are doing and to figure out what makes sense. And if they're underselling you dramatically, then they've obviously sourced their product better than you have. You may want to buy it from them and see if you can figure out where they sourced it from. Other than that, there's a lot more you can gather. Number two, product price is essential. Unless you're selling original or one-of-a-kind items, you'll be competing on price with a number of other sellers. Competitive pricing is the single most important element that will determine if your listing's actual sell. That may sound like an obvious point, but it comes back to the value proposition. And if your value proposition is that you're the only guy that's got it, if you're selling a used longbow that no one else has that is unusual, then you can name your price and wait for somebody to buy it. But if you're selling a commodity, it's all about price. And I know a lot of merchants who are middle-of-the-road pricing in terms of their online retail store, like at Yahoo, and they are expecting to go to eBay and make money. The guys, and I, when I say that, many of us here working instantly think of one of our research partners who tried to make money on eBay, but his pricing wasn't the lowest, and he's in a market where pricing was meant everything because he was selling identical items. Before launching a full-scale eBay campaign, make sure your items have the potential sale. Search for your products on eBay and look at the selling price of closed items. This will give you the best indication of your ability to compete in terms of price. Number three, pay close attention to eBay's fee structure. eBay charges insertion fees, as we've talked about, but even fees for extra pictures, final value fees, variable percentage of the final sales price, listing upgrade fees for additional exposure, and PayPal fees if you use that payment system. Their fee structure we've outlined for you. The links are in this report. You can go there to study those. And we also recommended something here called Fee Finder. You may or may not be familiar with that, but it's a tool. And the URL is in your report. What is the number of that URL?
That's number three.
Number three in your notes right now. Fee Finder is a good tool for helping you calculate what you should charge to cover your eBay fees. eBay counts on the fact that most sellers are not sophisticated to know, figure out what their pricing ought to be or even recognize when they're losing money. And this service helps you to calculate those things. Number four, don't overlook maintenance costs of implementing eBay listings. Boy, this is big. The labor involved in managing lots of items listings can quickly eat into your profits. In our resource survey below, we've listed several software packages. Now, hear that. This will come in the briefing. It's part of the literature review. We have listed several software packages that will help you save time in managing your listings. If you don't calculate your labor cost, you're still not building a business, and you're not thinking about it as a business, because if you can't work your way out of the job you're doing right now, you don't have a business, you just have a job. And that's what happens with eBay. A lot of people have jobs, and they work at eBay. They're working for eBay, and they just haven't figured it out yet. Chris, do you want to add to that anything about that point? Because I know you've worked hard at dealing with that. But do you have any points to add to that?
Well, all I can tell you is an example from what we started with. When I first started on working on eBay, I had an item that I was selling at $30, and I was making 50% margin. So I was doing very well. What happened over a period of time, though, is I began to have competition. So I began to sell things as true auctions, where you start them in a penny and let them go to where they are. We began to rapidly lose money and not have an idea that we were losing money. It is really essential to really know what you're doing on eBay in terms of probably setting a fixed price for your item and looking what the sell-through is. That's really the easiest and best way to do it. But you need to be able to follow it. In the, I believe in the next paragraph down, it talks about going to my eBay. It actually says my auction manager, but it's actually my eBay. You can cut and paste out of the sold and unsold auctions and then sort them and find out what your real sell-through is. If you use the same title for the same auction, you put the same auction up multiple times, you can then figure out what percentage am I selling. And that's really the key to making eBay work, is to really know what your sell-through is for a given auction.
Well, I would also say this. If you're, let's suppose you're a retailer right now and you're doing $5 million or $1 million, or so let's say, I mean, you may be doing $1 million a year, but let's say you're somewhere between $1 million and $10 million a year in your revenues. Could be more. We've got people on the phone that certainly do more than that. The way to do this is to, first of all, recognize that it takes an expertise. Secondly, to hire the right person. Because their salary is easy to replace. If you have somebody working, I mean, if I was a retailer, the way I would do it is I would bring in a pro, and I would bring in somebody that could be trained, and or I would bring in somebody with enough experience to get me started. I would invest in making that person knowledgeable, and then based on the volume that you run through eBay, and I'd run this in advance, you can figure out what you can afford to pay someone, and you can afford to pay someone to do this for you. It's not impossible. I have retailers right now that want to go and use eBay simply because they don't like the fact that they're losing major market share to the eBay power sellers in their category. And the way to do it is not to do it halfway. Bring in somebody, get them trained, go on to eBay and do it. But if you're a one-man shop and you're already having a hard time running your store, or you're a small group and you can barely keep up, don't launch eBay yet. You're not ready.
I agree 100% with that. And actually, even for the people who are larger, getting a pro and using one of the tools like OnDelay or AuctionWorks is probably the way to go, because they have a lot of these profit calculators and things built in.
That's very true. So let me go to number five. After you've tested some auctions, determine your sell-through rate. By the way, I'll stop there and just say this. And I know it's an anecdote and it's personal, but years ago, my sister came to me and she said, I have three sisters, and she said, I'd like to make some extra money. What can I do? For her, I recommended eBay. She said, well, I don't know how to do that. And she didn't hear me, I guess, initially. But subsequently, she went on there and quickly began to make money and was shocked that she could do it so well. It works really well for the small person. It works really well for somebody who's sophisticated enough to scale up with it. The people who suffer the most are in the middle. If your wife goes to 10 garage sales and buys products and puts them on eBay, then wonderful. This is rather hokey and small time, but my sister told me that last week that she went to the dollar store and bought something for a dollar and sold it on eBay for $8. And she's quite proud of what she did. But, the reality is she can make an extra few thousand dollars a month easily on eBay. But when you get in that middle, it gets murky. And before you know it, you don't realize that the labor cost and the fees are eating into what you had hoped to be a successful business. And that's where you have to consider how to drive eBay traffic into a retail site, or how to get the everybody makes the transition to a retail site at that part. However, it may be good to go backwards from retail to eBay. All right, so after you've tested some auctions, determine your sell-through rate, one way to determine this is to go into Manage Auctions on the eBay site and import all your sold auctions into an Excel spreadsheet. Then simply sort them by name and count the number of sold and unsold auctions. So this issue of sell-through rate, I'm going to read that part to you again. But the bottom line is, if you're trying to calculate it, go into Manage Auctions, which is, part of your tabs.
It's actually My eBay.
My eBay, okay. And then on the eBay site, import all your sold auctions into an Excel spreadsheet. Then simply sort them by name and count the numbers of sold and unsold auctions. You can also use analysis software such as AuctionWorks or the company that Christopher mentioned earlier, Andelay. Are those numbered?
Yeah, those are 4 and 5 in the notes.
Number 4 and 5 in your notes to determine your sell-through rate. However, like all of the off-the-shelf solutions, these are not without their limitations. Key point here, and I think you're probably getting this by now, is that sell-through and final profit calculations are the two basic figures that will determine the success or failure of your eBay campaigns. But here's point 6. Don't overlook shipping price. For lower-priced items, especially shipping price, you can use that to augment profitability. Talk about that for a minute, Chris. It's very important. And it's what Jimmy did with the comparison engines. He made his money on the shipping. And it's and Chris has done a lot of smart things, and we've run tests together on this. So go ahead and talk about shipping for just a moment.
Okay. In general, the way that we make money on eBay is we found that most eBay buyers will only buy one item, even if we present multiple things to them. So we know that, in general, they're going to buy one item. A lot of our things are low-cost items, $10. Even. And we do have a good margin on them, but where we really make the money is we first class them and we use a system called Indicia, which basically hides the postal cost. And because people aren't aware of how much it costs to ship, they don't get mad about it. It's as simple as that.
What's the name of
it? Called Indicia.
Did you spell that?
ENDICIA, I believe. For higher cost items, like last week I was buying something with my roommate on eBay. He wanted to buy some lights for his car. We bought the lights. They were about $35. The shipping was $22. And they were using UPS, which also similarly hides the amount that actually costs to ship. So a lot of people make the majority of their actual profit on shipping, as far as eBay goes. It allows you to reduce your overall price that's presented to the customer, even if in the final price you are charging that amount.
Well, what happens What happens a lot of time is that if you're a reseller and you have an account directly with UPS or FedEx, you will usually get a discounted rate. It varies depending on how much business you're doing, but you can base your shipping rates on the UPS or FedEx quick cost calculator, but you could be getting rates anywhere from 20 to 50% off those rates directly. So by using the official rates, you're not doing anything that's out of the ordinary. It's the same as it would cost someone to ship their own package to their buddy across a couple states over, and you could make 20 to 50% margin just on the shipping rate, which will help augment your product margins.
Yeah, actually the way we do is we charge $6.99 no matter how many things people buy. So it's essentially we try to make it fair, we try to encourage people to buy more stuff, but if they don't, we make money on the shipping.
All right, well, if you are questioning how to set up your shipping, and we're almost done here, I'm going to suggest that we have another briefing in the lab just on shipping, and actually Chris was one of the guys who worked with us on that report, and it tells you how to set up your shipping in the most advantageous way. All right, number 6, don't overlook shipping price for low-priced items, especially shipping price can be used to augment profitability. We said that. 7, customer service is very important. Feedback is a vital part of the eBay community. It is very easy to give feedback, and almost all eBay buyers will do it. Therefore, it is essential that you offer absolute top-notch customer service. Most veteran eBay sellers have 99% or more positive feedback. This is one of the distinct advantages of the Internet. I mean, on Yahoo, negative feedback lowers your ranking, lowers your sales, and it will kill you. The same thing happens in BizRate, and this real-time feedback changes the way you should think about customer service. Please hear this transition and think about this. Customer service is no longer simply one of the associated costs with operating a business. Customer service becomes a marketing cost. Changes the way you think about customer service, because you can't afford for those rankings to go down. And the extra money you refund, the extra work you go to, is just like money you're taking from your marketing budget. Because if your ranking goes down, you're going to spend a lot more money on the marketing side trying to get it back. So think of your customer service in eBay and in the comparison engines and the shopping engines. Think of your customer service itself as a part of your marketing expenses, and it will change perhaps the way you view it. I'll go a step further, and again, I'm bringing this thing to a close, but this is probably another thing that I would really, really consider. Here at MEC, when we optimize a site's messaging in our research, we don't just optimize the home page. We look at every single customer service email. We chart them. If possible, we put them on the wall and cover a wall with them, and we ask ourselves, what is the most effective way to communicate the message of this email, A, and B, what is the most effective way to leverage this email into further revenue? When you do that, your customer service emails, by the way, those are the ones that get read. They may not read your ads, but they'll read your customer service emails. And I'm not suggesting you turn your customer service email into an ad. I am, or using, put it this way, using sales language. But I am telling you that if you structure them right, if you include the right links, if you're strategic about the use of your customer service emails, you'll find they themselves become a revenue stream. It's an underutilized asset right now in most people's retail operation. Confirmation of your order should be one of the smartest emails you write. And the follow-up should be one of the smartest emails you write. And there's a lot of really good things you can do there if you stop and think about it. All right, so let me wrap this up by saying generally our examples and recommendations above are based on fixed-price eBay listings. The performance of true auctions is usually more difficult to predict but can be successful for certain rare or unique products. And one positive final note is that eBay continues to grow 50% or more each year. If you can carve a niche for yourself in this market, you can create a significant auxiliary income stream that will grow along with your business. So that is all that I have for you today, and I can close this out, but I'll leave it open for just a moment in case there's anybody that wants to ask a question while you have Chris, Jimmy, and some of us on the phone. Okay, then one more question for you guys. Are you finding this information helpful? Help me get some feedback. Has this particular conference been helpful for you?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, okay. Very much.
It was very good.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, make use of that spreadsheet. Keep working. Our next group of conference will be on organic search. And I look forward to talking with you guys. So take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.